Me llama. Good morning, Life Change.
Good morning, Matt.
Okay, how many of you here are still recovering from the awesome party we had last night? Be honest, show your hands. You're in church.
That
Come on. Yeah.
was so much fun.
If you hear snoring, blame someone else. It'll be me. Yeah. Me. Just want to thank you all for being here. It's a blessing to have you here. It really is. And I just hope and pray that you're all blessed being here. We had a great party last night. Lots of good food, lots of great laughs. Pastor got rid of his sweater. So I know that was on his mind, all year long since last Christmas.
Pastor forgot. Reap what you sow.
To be continued.
I see a penguin sweater in your future. Maybe two. I mean, they do multiply.
So fun.
But it was a lot of fun. For those of you who couldn't make it, next year, if you want to come, it was a lot of laughs, a lot of fun. We had some gift stealing. We sang some good carols. Enjoyed the food, enjoyed each other's company. Just want to thank everybody who helped out with that, setting up tables, setting up chairs, getting the food ready. And thank you, everyone, who put up all of our wonderful Christmas decorations. Let's give them a hand. So got a few announcements this morning. Then Pastor Brad's got an announcement. After church today, we're going to do outreach. So if you'd like to join us, we have some Fred Meyer gift cards that we're going to go knock on some doors and try and speak Jesus into some people's lives and give them a blessing for Christmas. So if you'd like to hang out after church and join us for that, please feel free to. Next Sunday, the 17th, we're going to have a business meeting following the service and a food pantry update. And then the Sunday after that is going to be our Christmas program, which is going to be really good. So,
no pressure, Lord. No pressure.
I was going to say no laughing. And then, of course, the last Sunday of the month, we're going to give out the food pantry donations. So if you got...
Receive
food pantry donations. Okay. Give them to Jenny. She's... Okay, so you're going to have two totes. Okay. In the front. So 31st. Okay. Yeah, then we can pray over them before giving them out. Okay. So today we're going to pray for the hospital. So if you join me in prayer, please. We are going to, well.
Good.
Yeah, thank you. I don't. We're going to bless Pam, but we're also going to bless and pray for everybody at the hospital besides just Pam. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day today. Lord, we thank you for allowing us to gather here to worship you, pray to you, praise you. For Lord, you are so good to us in so many ways. Lord, we thank you that you walk with us daily. Lord, we thank you that you guide our hearts, our minds. Lord, we thank you that you want what's best for us, even despite ourselves. And Lord, that you never give up on us, ever. But you pursue us always. Lord, just thank you for Pam and the work that she's doing at the hospital, Lord. I thank you for the light that you've given her, Lord. And I thank you for filling her with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for filling her with the Word. Thank you for filling her with your understanding, your mercy, your compassion, your grace, and your love. And Lord, I thank you that she gets to take that to those that are in the hospital, who are suffering, who are dying, who have friends and family that suffering or dying. Lord, that her light gets to shine there. Mm-hmm. Your light gets to shine through her there. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just thank you for all those who work at the hospital, who care for those mm-hmm. in need there. Mm-hmm. Lord, I know some of them give all their heart for those people who are there. Mm-hmm. Lord, and I just thank you for that. And Lord, just ask you to please bless the hospital. Please bless those who work there. Please bless those who minister there.
Yes.
For Lord, you first ministered to us mm-hmm. when we were sick and dying of our sin. And Lord, we just ask you to please help and guide those there who are sick and dying physically as well as spiritually. And Lord, to you is all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we give you our faith and our love. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 All right, before we worship, I just want to let you know that this week or this month is the month that we take up a love offering for our missionaries. Our goal this year is $1,000. If you were in the new members class, you realize that this church supports 3,200 missionaries, foreign missionaries. Okay, and the way we do that is that there's a cooperative of churches that combine their resources and give their missionaries a salary. You'll never hear one of our missionaries come and ask for money because they're on salary. And so part of us being able to bless them is through this Lottie Moon Christmas offering that we have every December. And so all the money, there's not one penny that will go to overhead or anything like that. All the monies that you give will go directly to our missionaries. So just want to encourage you, if the Lord has blessed you, let's bless them this Christmas season. All right? Thank you.
God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we were gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. From God, Heavenly Father, the blessed angel came, and unto certain shepherds brought tidings of the same, how God in Bethlehem was born a Son of God by name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. Fear not, sad angels, let nothing you affright. This day was born a Savior, a virgin pure and bright, to free all those who trust in him from Satan's power and might. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy.
Amen.
Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you. We turn to you. Hope is stirring, hearts are yearning for you. We long for you.
Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. In your presence, all our fears are washed away. Wash away. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna, have your way among us. We welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Hear the sounds of our dream, to you. We turn to you. In your kingdom, made new. You make us new. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Wash away. Come everywhere, we welcome you here, Lord Jesus. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. Because in your presence, all our fears are washed away. Wash away. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Come have your way among us. We welcome you here, the Lord Jesus. Hosanna, you are the God who saves us, worthy of all our praises. Hosanna. Our finest gifts we bring for up above. To lay before the King, far up above, far up above, far up above. So to all the King, far up above. When we come, they. Baby Jesus, all of the I am a poor boy too far from home. I have no gift to bring far from home. That's fit to give for King far from home. Rumpa bum bum, rumpa bum bum. Shall I play for you? I might drown. The I played my drum for you, I played my best for you, Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Alleluia. Alleluia. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Hallelujah. Oh, holy, holy, are you the Lord God Almighty? Worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb, you are holy, holy, are you Lord God Almighty, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is the Lamb. In the darkness we were waiting, without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running, there was mercy in your eyes, to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit. Praise forever to the King of Kings. To reveal the kingdom coming and to reconcile the lost. To redeem the whole creation,
You did not despise the cross, for even in your suffering, you saw to the other side. Knowing this was our salvation, Jesus, for your sake you died. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, forever to the King of Kings. And the morning that you rose, all of heaven held its breath, till that stone was moved for good. For the Lamb had conquered death, and the dead rose from their tombs, and the angels stood in awe, for the souls of all who come to the Father are restored, and the Church of Christ was born. Then the Spirit led the way. Now the gospel truth alone shall not kneel, shall not fade. By his blood and in his name, in his freedom I am free. For the love of Jesus Christ, who has resurrected me. Oh, praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God, glory, praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise the Father, praise the Son, praise the Spirit, three in one. God of glory, majesty. Praise forever to the King of Kings. Praise forever to the King of Kings. We will praise forever to the King of Kings.
Who has held the oceans in his hands? Has numbered every grain of sand. Kings and nations tremble at his voice. Oh, creation rises to rejoice. Behold, the God. Seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold the King, nothing can compare. Come let us adore him. Yeah.
has given counsel to the Lord. Who can question any of his words? Who can be the one who knows all things? Who can fathom all his wondrous deeds? Behold the God, seated on his throne, come let's adore him. Behold the King, nothing can compare. Come, let us adore Him. Who has felt the nails upon his hands, bearing all the guilt of sinful man? God eternal, humbled to the grave, is our Savior, risen now to fame. Behold the God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold the King, nothing can compare, come let us adore. Behold the God, seated on his throne, come let us adore him. Behold the King, nothing can compare, come let us adore. Behold the God, seated on his throne, come let us adore. Behold the God, nothing can compare, come let us adore.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for coming. Make a way for us to be with you and the Father and the Holy Spirit for all eternity. We praise your holy name. Thank you. Father, as Pastor brings the sermon, ask that you will bring it forth to us and help us to let it enter our hearts and minds, that we may glorify you every day. We praise you and thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Great job.
The Lord inhabits the praises of his people. And it's just incredible how the Lord visits us when we visit him in worship. And wonderful worship this morning, team. Excellent job. Just to let you know, I received information on my phone this morning that there was a tornado in Starksville, Tennessee. Clarksville, Tennessee, where Tom and Renee live. Tom and Renee were our worship pastors for about 3 or 4 years before they went to Tennessee, before they left the promised land and went to there. But anyway, I contacted him. He said they were all doing well. Renee and Josiah had gone into the basement, and he was at work, and so everything is fine there. But there were like 6 deaths in the area because of the tornadoes. So before I begin, I'd just like to lift up, Matt has already prayed, but I would like to pray for those individuals as well. Lord, I come before you. And Lord, we hear about these things and how it hits close to home for us. And Lord, it impacts us in a greater way when we know people who live in that area. And so Lord, you know the needs. And God, you know the spiritual needs of those individuals that are there as well as the physical needs. And Lord, I pray that you would raise up a Christian army to come and help them at this time. And Lord, I pray that you would impact. A lot of times we think, well, that's way over there. It doesn't affect me. But Lord, it does affect us. And Lord, we've gone through difficult times here in Tillamook before, and we've had people come help us. And so, Lord, I pray that there would be just an outpouring of your love toward those individuals that they are in Tennessee and other places who are going through devastating situations. Lord, let your love be shown. We thank you. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to make a correction that when the food that will be brought on the 31st, we're going to, if you need some, they will not be passed out that day. Okay? So you'll need to get with Jenny in regards to how that's going to be distributed. If you need foodstuffs, get with Jenny. She's going to be in charge of that and encouraging others who signed up to help. But it will not be dispersed that day. There's going to be a different day that's going to be dispersed. So you'll need to get with her regarding that. Okay? So we are talking about the ready church. Every week, I think, well, this week we're going to finish. Well, we're not. And we're not going to finish this week either. We've got one more Sunday for sure that we're going to talk about the ready church. I want us to be ready when Jesus comes. And that was Paul's desire. That was his goal. That was his vision for the church of Thessalonica. And so today we're going to read a passage of scripture, about 12 verses, pretty short verses, so it shouldn't take us that long to read it. But it will help us to get to understand what it's going to take for us to be ready, okay? And so if you would, you can turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 through 24, or you can look up here on the overhead. There used to be a time when everybody would discover where their Bible, the passages in the Bible were, because we didn't have all of this overhead stuff. I sometimes think this can be a hindrance, because now nobody knows where their Bible passages are. And they're no longer searching and having a Bible drill. Where is 1 Thessalonians? Where's 2 Thessalonians? But when you had your Bibles, now you have your phone. It's all right there. You don't have to memorize nothing. Thank you. The music team might enjoy having that whenever the time comes. I would encourage you, even though it's all on here on the overhead and although you can go to your phone, I would encourage you to have a Bible and read your Bible. There are times when I don't know exactly where the passage is, but I know where it is on the page. And I can go to that place, and I've got it marked. And so I would encourage you, use a Bible. Even though you have all these other helps, I would encourage you to do that. and it's good to memorize, and it's good to put that in your heart as well. The church at Thessalonica was a ready church, and they were ready for the Lord to come back, as I've mentioned in the past. They were looking for, diligently, for the Lord's return at any moment. And so they were ready to meet him. Let's stand together for the reading of God's word. 1 Thessalonians 5, 12 through 24. And he says, "We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good, abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." Amen. Jeannie, would you pray for me before I begin, please? Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen.
No weapon formed against us shall prosper. It is written. And Father, we just thank you and praise you now for the word that you are going to give us.
Amen. You may be seated. And I just want to state that those of you who are watching on Zoom, this message is for you too. And so, I appreciate you being here. I want us to begin with the last two verses of this chapter, and then we're going to work kind of backwards. It says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it." So this is Paul's cry for the church at Thessalonica. This is his vision. This is his heart for the church at Thessalonica, that they be ready when Jesus comes. And actually, this is God's heart, because Paul was writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And God said to Paul, write this down. This is important. This is important for that church at Thessalonica. This is important for that church at Life Change in Tillamook. This is important. Write it down. This is God's plan for you. Okay? Turn to your neighbor and say, this is God's plan for you. If you're watching on Zoom and nobody's with you, tell yourself. Okay? You need to hear this. This is God's plan for you. Complete sanctification. And your body, soul, and spirit be blameless. That's his plan. And he will do it. Sometimes we don't like the process, but he will do it. So, who is Paul writing to, believers or non-believers? He's writing to believers. He's writing to people who know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. So here's the deal. Once a person becomes a follower of Christ, the Holy Spirit begins a cleansing of their life. Now, there's not a whole lot of cleansing that takes place prior to Jesus entering a person's life. Prior to them accepting Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, giving their life to him, repenting of sin, there's not a whole lot of cleansing that takes place in a person's life. How many of you tried to clean yourself up before you met Jesus? How did that work for you? It works so good. We knew there was something wrong in us, and so we tried to do better, and I raised both hands. Okay, there was something wrong, and we tried to fix it, and we couldn't fix it. But when Jesus enters our life, he's the fix-it man, right? He's the one who can empower us to be what we know we ought to be before we become who we should be. And so he's the one who empowers us. He's the one that instigates that desire in our heart to be more than we are. And so when we come to know Jesus, there's something in our heart that says, I want to be better. I want to be better. I want to be more like Christ. I'm driven to be more like him, but I can't seem to do it. But then Jesus begins to work in us and empower us to overcome those things that we were not able to overcome before. That's called sanctification. That's that process where God works in us what we can't do for ourselves. We begin to overcome strongholds in our life. We began to resist temptation in a way we weren't able to do before. We began to no longer seek selfish desires. We began to seek his desires. That's the sanctification process. And it is a process. Okay? Justification, when you meet Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's instantaneous. It's just as if justification means justified, never sinned. Okay? God wipes it clean. We are no longer in his eyes a sinner. We are in his eyes a child of God. He wipes our slate clean. The picture comes to me. I don't know what they're called, but you remember, some of you are old enough to remember those little tablets that you could write on. And then you rip up the paper and it disappears. That when you receive Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, when you repent, I believe that every sin that you've ever committed is written down. Mine were a book, okay? But when I received Christ as my personal Lord and Savior, God did this. Whoop, and they were gone. Scripture says, never to be remembered anymore. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Amen. Never to be remembered anymore. But then there's this process called sanctification. And that sanctification is where we work with the Holy Spirit to begin the cleansing process, the purification process. Sanctification is the purification process. And again, it's a process. And the process is a continual cleansing through confession and repentance. Continual. So when we sin, and we still do as Christians, I hate to acknowledge that, but we do. When we recognize it, we can either continue in it, which makes us miserable, or we can back up and say, God, man, I messed up again. Will you please forgive me? And guess what he does? He forgives me. But then we need to work out what he's already worked in. Scripture says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's not that you're working for salvation. You've already got salvation. But you need to work out what's already been worked in you. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit is going to share with you, tell you, and God, bring to your mind things that you need to change. And so you can either resist him or you can go along with him. The longer you resist him, the more miserable you're going to become. Do you remember Jonah? Jonah running away from God. God told him, go to Nineveh. And Jonah had really never surrendered everything, right? And God was like, Jonah, you need to go to Nineveh. And Jonah, in his mind, I'm sure he didn't say, no, God, I'm not going to do that. He just decided to take off. And Jonah was on this boat. He was going the opposite way from Nineveh. He was on this boat, and as he was going, a storm came up. Listen, have you ever been so miserable that you wanted to take your own life? That's where Jonah was. He was running away from God, and he was in darkness. He was in misery. He was in the bottom of the boat. A person who's depressed and in misery, oftentimes they just want to hide out. Oftentimes they just want to be in darkness. And that's where Jonah was. He was in the darkness. He wanted to hide out. All he wanted to do was sleep because he was so miserable inside. And so finally, the sailor said, listen, we got to cry out to our gods and find out what's going on. Who's responsible for this? And so they cried out to their gods. They got no answer. And they went down in the bottom of the boat and said, Jonah, come up here. We got a problem. Cry out to your God and find out why we're in this mess. Listen, when you're in a mess, it's probably a great idea to find out why. And so they said, Jonah, cry out to your God. Find out why we're in this mess. And he said, I know why we're in a mess. I'm running away from God. Just throw me overboard. How miserable to be so depressed, to be so down, to be so without hope that you just want to take your own life. Just throw me overboard. Why wouldn't a person just repent, right? I would rather take my life than repent. Gee whiz, Jonah. That's stupid, right? I don't want to repent. Throw me overboard. I'd rather commit suicide than repent. I'd rather live in misery. I'd rather live in darkness than repent. Gee whiz, Jonah. And do you know there are a lot of Christians who would rather run from God, live in misery, depression, and despair than repent? Gee whiz, Jonah. Gee whiz. I don't get it. I've been there. I mean, I've not been to that depth, but I've been in misery before because of my sin. And I tell you what, I would rather repent than live in misery. I would rather repent than live in misery. God is trying to sanctify us. He's trying to work in us what we've already claimed and what he's promised us. And I guarantee you, God is faithful and he will do it. He was faithful to Jonah. Listen to Jonah's prayer, and I'm not going to read the whole thing, just some of it. In chapter 2, then Jonah prayed to the Lord out of the fish's belly. You ever been in a fish's belly? Boy, I think that's a great time to pray. He prayed out of the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction. And he answered me, my word. Isn't that beautiful? It doesn't matter how far we go. It doesn't matter how dark it gets. It doesn't matter what we've done. We cry out to the Lord and he answers. But you know what? He responded because of Jonah's repentance. We can't just cry out to the Lord and tell, Lord, save me out of this mess so I can continue in my sin. No, it's not like that. There's repentance that has to come. And he said, I cry out to the Lord because of my affliction. He answered me, out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. Verse 9, but I will sacrifice. If you're in that pit, I'm going to suggest that you pray Jonah's prayer from verse 1 through the end of the chapter. Just pray it out of your heart. He says, and he said, he cried out to the Lord in verse 9, but I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. In verse 10, so the Lord spoke to the fish and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Just like that. He was in darkness and now he's light. He had seaweed wrapped around his head. And when he walked into Nineveh with seaweed on his head, I'm sure it got people's attention. Gee whiz, Jonah. Wake up. Gee whiz, Jonah. God will do it. Now, depending on how he does it, is on you. Right? Because he will do it. You can submit and you can allow that work to be done in your heart and in your life, or you can resist and let him do it a different way. But he will do it because you're his child, because he loves you, and because he has a great plan for your life, and you will not get away from it. Guaranteed. Because he will do it. That's a promise. Paul said, so first let me just ask, I'm going to stop here, or, well, not stop, but ask you a question. The difficulties you're facing at this time, whatever they may be, might be part of that sanctification process. Okay? Are you going through health issues? Are you going through relationship issues? Are you going through financial issues? What issues are you going through at this time? And have you stopped to ask the Lord, Lord, are you trying to get my attention because you're trying to sanctify me and it's through this that purpose will be fulfilled? I think that's a good question. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to ask the Lord. So here's what I want you to do. I'm going to ask you to bow your head. We're not finished with this message. I've got a long way to go yet. But what I would like to do, how many of you are going through difficulties right now? Several of you. Okay, third of the congregation. So can I ask, if you will bow your head, would you be willing to listen to the Holy Spirit? And me just ask him, Lord, is the reason we're going through this, you're going through this, because of the sanctification process? And if he says yes, then we need to ask another step and say, okay, now, what do you want me to do about it? Right? Because he will do it. And if he's doing it and we're not aware of it, then we need to be aware of it. So let's pray. Lord, there are some people here who are having relationship issues. There are others who are having financial issues. Others who are having health issues. A lot of different issues. And God, we don't want to, I know this congregation, they don't want to resist you. But Lord, sometimes we're not aware of what you're doing in our lives. And so, Lord, I'm just going to ask you to speak to their heart and speak to my heart as well when I ask this question. Lord, are the problems that we're facing, is it because you're trying to cleanse something, purify something out of our lives? So, Lord, what do we need to do differently so that that purification can take place? Amen. So it's that simple. It's that simple. Did anyone hear the Lord speak to you? Okay, thank you. Thank you, several of you. Okay. So here's what I'm going to suggest to what Holy Spirit says. Don't be a Jonah. Sure. Okay, keep putting one front in front of the other and trust him. So I think that's a good word for any of us. So, we're to be sanctified. We're to be blameless, spirit, soul, and body. Did you realize that the spirit, soul, and body is every part of you? It doesn't leave anything else. That's all of you. That you're to be blameless in body and soul and in spirit. The body is your flesh, the soul, your mind, will, and emotions, your thought life, your decisions, your emotions under control. How many of you, I'm not going to ask that question, you don't have to raise your hand, but how many of you allow your emotions to control you sometimes? Okay. So God wants to sanctify that, right? He wants to cleanse that, mind, will, emotion. Now, we're to be blameless in all areas of our life so that we can connect with God. Spirit is the area that we connect with God in, and he speaks with our spirit and we speak with him. And oftentimes, it's more of a feeling for many people than it is words. When God speaks, it's a feeling that, I know that's God speaking. I mean, he usually doesn't use audible words. On occasion, he will. I've had it happen a few times with me when he wanted to correct me. Okay. And so, I've shared this some time ago. I'll share it again. One time I was preaching a revival in Rufus, the big metropolis of Rufus, Oregon, a large church of about 20 people. And it's above the Dalles up the gorge. And so I was going to be preaching that night on John chapter 15, and I was riding in the back of the car, and pastor and the associate pastor were in front of the seat, and they were talking about John chapter 15. And I'm listening to them, and what I understood the Lord to tell me was different than what they were saying. And you know how anxiety kind of starts. Uh-oh. And so I'm listening, and I'm thinking, what's the deal? And this is what I heard. Brad, you preach what I tell you to preach. And in my spirit, I thought I said, yes, sir, out loud. But it must have been in my spirit because they didn't turn around. But yes, sir. And you know what? I've carried that with me for 30 years, 40 years. Preach what I tell you to preach. Preach what I tell you. Preach. There have been twice in 30 years I've been here that have not preached because God didn't give me a message. Preach what I tell you to preach. So, God does speak audibly sometimes, But it's not very frequent. Most of the time he speaks to us in our spirit, and we just know in our knower, this is what we ought to do. Right? Okay. And so he speaks to our spirit. Now, listen, cows don't have a spirit. Chickens don't have a spirit. Trees don't have a spirit. Fish don't have a spirit. Only humans have a spirit because we're made in the image of God. Oh, I heard the trees talking to me. Well, it wasn't the trees. Guarantee you. So God has a vision for this church. Sanctification, blameless. Body, soul, and spirit. I want us to look again at verses 12 through 15. Because here's where you have a part, this in helping others. We urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now, I'm going to just stop there, and because this is kind of like, hey, listen up, guys. I put somebody, your pastor, and you need to listen to him, and you need to do what he says. So, because he's looking out for your souls. He's looking out for your best interest, and you need to love him. I love that passage. And you do. You guys do great. I've never been in a church so loving. And I appreciate you. You are wonderful to Cynthia and I. But here's the deal. One of the greatest compliments I receive from anyone is this. Pastor, I'm putting your messages into practice, and it's working. Praise the Lord. That just blesses my heart above everything else. That just blesses me. You couldn't give me a greater gift than that. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Did you know that I have to give an account to the Lord for how I train you and for what I preach to you and how I teach you? That's between me and the Lord. And you know what? I really don't give a rip whether you like it or not. Because that's between me and the Lord. And I have to preach what he tells me to preach. I have to feed you what he tells me to feed you. Now, I don't know who needs to hear this message today, but there's someone here that needs to hear this message. I've got to give an account to God. Because I have a responsibility to watch out for your souls. Chris, do you know I care about you? And I'm going to tell you truth because I love you. Brock, do you know I care about you? Because I love you, I'm going to speak truth to you. Okay? Rena, do you know I love you? I'm going to speak truth. And I may not always speak it right. I've been accused of not speaking it right. But I don't. Sometimes I don't get it right in the way sometimes I come across harsh. Because I know it's the right thing to do. I had someone come to me the other day and said, Pastor, I wish you had spoken more harshly to me when you told me not to go down that road. Now, you said don't go down that road, and you know, I went down that road. I wish you would have been like in my face. Yeah, I know. So, God says, listen, he's given you a pastor that loves you, cares about you. He wants you to succeed in life. He wants you to win. So listen to him. A second thing, he says, be at peace among yourselves. So here's the deal. We're a peaceful church. I love this church. I mean, a lot of churches you go in, there's bickering and fighting, and the pastor has to spend all their time putting out fires. Oh, man, thank you, Lord, I don't have that. I'll designate Matt to be the fire putter outer. I'm going to share this. He didn't tell me I could, but I'm going to share it anyway. He was preaching at a church a few weeks ago. And he got up and you know, the fellow who made the recommendation that he come preach said the people are looking forward to him coming. And Matt said to me, well, I wonder if they're looking forward with pitchforks and hellfire, or they were looking forward to with the open arms. And so he got up there. He was going to tell that joke in the pulpit. And he said, man, I was told you were waiting for me. And I was just wondering if you were waiting with pitchfork and hellfire or open arms. And the guy stands up and said, I know, we're waiting with a pitchfork and hellfire. And it's like, man. And all of a sudden, an argument started in the church. While he was trying to preach and supply preach, that's no lie, right? I'm not lying. That's, all right. I just want to know, you know, I'm not lying, okay? There are churches who will fight about anything and everything. I mean, I could give you story after story after story about the first church I pastored. But I'm not. So that might be gossiping. But I tell you what, this is a whole lot different church than the first church I pastored in Louisiana. And you guys have blessed me. And I thank the Lord for you every day. So here's the thing. Be at peace among yourselves. Continue to work. If you have a problem, work it out. If you have a problem, don't just run away. Work it out. Here's the deal. Here's what I found. If I run away from a problem, I'm going to face it somewhere else. And you can church hop for 16 churches. How many other churches there are in Tillamook? And you're going to find the same problem when you go to the next church because you never worked it out. Okay? So I'm just encouraging you, work it out. I don't like that, Pastor. Work it out. Work it out. Third thing, warn those who are unruly. Now, here's the deal. I don't know of any unruly church members, but if I find out, we're going to talk. Okay? And the word will come to me. Somehow the Lord allows me to hear about it. And if I see you making a poor decision, I will come to you because I care about you. And here's another wonderful thing. There may be others in this congregation seeing you make a poor decision, and they may come to you as well. Right, Sandy? Because they love you. Because they love you. We love one another. Encourage one another. Strengthen one another. Warn one another. Scripture says, comfort the faint-hearted. Encourage them. Uphold the weak. Strengthen them. Be patient with all. Oh, wait. With all? With some. I like the word some. That's not what it says. It says, be patient with all. Even your spouse, right? But they're included. They're included. Be patient with all. Turn to your neighbor and say, be patient with all. Especially me. Number 7, see that no one renders evil for evil to anyone. But always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Look out for everyone's best interests. not yours only. So here's the deal. Listen to yourself when you speak. Are your words building up or tearing down? Encouraging or discouraging? Blessing or cursing? Peaceful or argumentative? Are your words compelling others to go forward, or are you holding them back? Are you thinking only of yourself, or are you zealous for others to finish well? God desires that everyone, from the youngest to the oldest, be presented to the Lord as sanctified and blameless. We've just gone over the seven steps. We'll go over some more next week, that we can help one another. Okay. Next week, we're talking about our own personal responsibilities. This week, we're talking about the responsibilities we have for one another. How many of you ever been to a swim meet? Swim meet? I went to my first one last Friday. First one I've ever been to. My grandson is swimming for the Tillamook. And there were so it was a statewide competition. There were like 9 or 10 schools who came. Gladstone, Pendleton, Baker, Scappoose, Sheridan, Malala, Gladstone, and others. And they were at the Y last Friday. It was about a 4:30, 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, a four-hour event. And no place to sit, really. But here's what I observed. When they were swimming, there was these kids who were a lap behind everybody else. And everyone on both teams, every person in the bleachers, were yelling at the top of their lungs, "Go! Go! Go! Go!" Every time they came up for breath, because you can't hear when you're underwater, right? Go! And there was a noise the whole time, but every time they came up for, and listen, they were, others would finish at 6 minutes on this 500 meter or 500 yard relay, and another one came in at 10 minutes, and this last guy was like struggling, and everybody was going, "Go! Go!" Every time he came up for a minute, "Go! Go!" Well, I'm telling you, it was so loud in there, you couldn't hear yourself speak. It was so loud. I'll tell you what's wrong with me is that we've got to go. We got to go. And we got to encourage one another. Even the fellow that's a lap behind, we got to encourage. We got to encourage. We got to bless them. We got to say, "Go, go, go, go. Don't stop. Keep pushing. You're almost there. You're almost home. Don't quit now. Keep on going. Go. Keep on going. Keep on going." Listen, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, "Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us." You know, I didn't see one swimmer with weights on. Didn't see one. I didn't see, and you know, their swimsuits were really tight. Because they wanted to do their best. And this scripture says, lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily besets you so that you can be a winner. So that you can be a winner. So that you can be a winner. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're a winner. You can do this. You're almost home. Don't quit now. I know it's hard, but push on. Go, 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 go. Don't quit. There's some of you who are discouraged. I want to encourage you, keep on going. You're almost home. Don't quit now. Some of you want to give up. Don't give up. Keep on going. Push. When I was watching the swimmers, they would have these long, you know, swim meet, and on the last lap, they would give it everything they had, trying to make it home. Trying to make it home. Trying to beat their time. You can do this. And we're here to help. We're here to help you reach the finish line. You can't do it on your own. It's impossible. So let's just say you're not involved in church, and who's going to encourage you? Well, I don't like to be around people. Well, there's sometimes I don't like it either. But I have to be because that's my job, right? Well, I just want to stay home. Well, what's God want you to do? Well, God, do you want me to stay home? Now, you might want to ask him. You might want to ask him. Well, sometimes it's just a selfish thing. Sometimes it's a fear issue that God is trying to work out of you and trying to work faith into you. Go, church. Go, church. Don't quit. We're going to have a time of invitation. If you're here today, you need prayer. Matt's going to be at the back. I'll be here. There are others scattered throughout the congregation who will be more than happy to pray for you. But don't quit. Don't quit.
I need thee every hour, most precious shore. No tender voice like thine can be so full. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour, oh, bless me, my Savior, how it comes to me. I need every hour, say, I'll be by. Temptation to step out when thou art not. I need thee, every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior, my God, to thee. I need thee every hour in joy or pain. Come quickly and abide. For life is vain. I need thee, oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. Oh, bless me now, my Savior. I come to thee. I need every hour.
most holy one, oh, make me kind indeed, thou blessed Son. I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee, oh, bless me now, my Savior, oh, bless me now, my Savior, oh, bless me now, my Savior,
Lord, what a great word you brought to us today, Lord. We thank you. What a powerful word.
Thank you.
And help us, Lord, to go, like Pastor said. And I heard you saying to me, gee whiz, Jake. So I got to get moving too. And for those of us who are winding down our race, Lord, we just thank you for the strength, Lord, to keep going, trust in you, to know that we have our assurance from you that all things are possible.
Come on.
Still. Yes. And that life with you is just going to be fantastic. So we just thank you, Lord, for the many blessings you bring our way, especially our pastor.
Thank you.
And I want to tell him now that messages that he brings to me do influence my life and do bring me great joy and conviction in a lot of things. So I thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for our pastor.
Yes. Thank you.
We thank you for this congregation that you put us in, Betty and I in. We just thank you for all the blessings you bring our way, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless thee.
The Lord bless thee.
And keep thee.
And keep thee.
The Lord make his face to shine upon thee. And be gracious unto thee. And be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up,
Lord lift up
his countenance,
his countenance
on thee and give thee peace. God bless you guys. Have a wonderful day.